Walter's got the ride home to the office, and we hear him say,
"Where can I go in?"
"Mr. Flood is using the telephone."
"Where?"
"He's talking long distance to his mother and sister in Pontiac. I told him he could have privacy."
"Yes."
"And he'll be through directly."
"I better hope you went from the office."
"Hurry up, John."
"Yes. Big Bassy and Roger. So it's having them to know by 6 o'clock tonight."
"Oh, yes, sir. Sit right down here in the reception to get on them."
"Oh, thank you."
"Sure."
"All my stuff's in the library table. Pen and ink and erasers and charts and figures and junk. Anyway, I couldn't accomplish anything scroll on the half-wit front porch."
"Well, I'm sorry, but we'll just have to stay out of that living room until Mr. Flood is done with his conversation."
"How long have you been talking?"
"Oh, quite a little bit." "Sit down here by me. You and I are in such a rush, you can't wait a minute or two."
"Well, when I dash home from the office 90 miles an hour to do a job, then discover I can't enter my own house."
"Well, I'm sorry, but there's no help for it."
"Well, this is phone calls run into money. I hope Brother Scruggs appreciates that."
"Who's going to pay?"
"Why don't he use his own phone, anyway?"
"Well, Mr. Cameron and Mr. Breed, and the terrace's other two roomers, are both home this afternoon. Mr. Scruggs likes privacy when he talks to his mother and sister." "He was very much upset when he knocked at the door a while ago."
"Quiet?"
"Yeah. He's had his feelings hurt downtown."
"He's always having his feelings hurt."
"Well, Mama's boy, you know."
"Oh, Mama's boy. The big ox is 40 years old, ain't he?"
43, but that don't cut any ice. Once a Mama's boy, always a Mama's boy."
"Who hurt his feelings this trip?"
"Some closing at the 5 and 10 cent store. Seems Mr. Slugs likes to drop in there at noontime to look around."
"Yes, yes, yes. A beautiful woman telling me he's a good deal educated."
"Hello, Margaret."
"Hi."
"Now, who'll want to go in the house?"
"I sure love to go in the house. I've got a bushel of work to do before 6 o'clock."
"You'll be done directly. How did you get your shirt all dirty?"
"Down the mud. You're so bully today, ain't you?"
"On the contrary, I have to pack a heap of invoices."
"You can't go inside, Willie."
"Why not?"
"He hears his rumors using the phone."
"Mr. Slugs?"
"Yeah. He's talking long distance to his mother and sister in Pontiac. I told him he wouldn't be bothered with people running in and out."
"I won't bother him. I just want to get my first baseman's glove."
"Where is it?"
"Under the bed for it."
"No. We'll have to stay out of that living room until he's through with his conversation."
"I concur with you in that sentiment, Harold."
"The guys are waiting for me over in Cannon's vacant lot."
"Well, let him wait."
"Is the bathroom going to treat him like our day?"
"He hasn't had a chance to chat with his mother and sister for a long time. Probably got a lot to tell him. Anyway, he's all upset."
"What's he all upset about?"
"Some snippy clerk down at the 5 and Dime hurt his feelings."
"The clerk?"
"Oh, Marlia. His mourn sobbed away when he knocked at the door a while ago."
"He's the darnest boy baby he'd ever come down the pipe."
"It's not for a place to make fun. Remember, you're just a little boy, and Mr. Sludge's a grown man."
"You sure don't act like a grown man."
"All right."
"So, Sludge, go look in the wizard. See what the chump's going to do."
"No."
"He's probably all through talking on the phone. But he steps out in the dormitory."
"No.
I can take him to the living room without him seeing me."
"Didn't you hear me say no?"
"He's supposed to have a long distance bill of $40,000.
Okay. He won't get stuck."
"Enough invoices. They're silly bunny sacks. They go over by 6 o'clock and here I sit with my tooth in my mouth."
"Well, he uses his own telephone."
"Mr. Cameron and Mr. Breed and Harris's other two roomers are both home this afternoon. I guess Mr. Sludge is afraid they're jollying."
"Molly Clark, Bluetooth Johnson, Willis Drawback, and Leland Richards all over in Cabin's vacant lot waiting for me."
"Oh, well, I don't imagine there'll be any horrible consequences if you don't return."
"I could step in the doggone living room and get my first patient's mitt and just like you can't realize I'm even
in there." "I thought I heard stopping inside the house."
"Oh,
yeah." "But it's not smart to laugh at people. Not the least bit smart."
"No, with a guy 43 years old."
"I guess a guy 43 years old can have feelings."
"What happened in the 10-cent store that broke his heart?"
"Some clerk was rude. He likes to spend his noontime sitting at the 5 and Dime, see. He likes to walk through the aisles and look at the different articles for sale. Well, today he stopped at the candy counter to buy a little bag of sweets. He told the clerk he wanted a penny's worth of this and a penny's worth of that and so on. And one of the things he ordered was a penny's worth of licorice buttons. The clerk put 5 in the sack. Mr. Sludge says, those licorice buttons are 6 for a penny, you see. The clerk says, 5 for a penny. Mr. Sludge says, I bought some the other day and they were 6 for a penny. A man with a mustache waited on me. The clerk says, look, neighbor, I can't stall around all day arguing with thinks about whether licorice buttons are 5 for a penny or 6 for a penny. You want licorice buttons 5 for a penny, or don't you want any licorice buttons at all? I don't want any licorice buttons at all, says Mr. Sludge, and he stormed out of the 5 and Dime, bobbing and flying to be sedan.
Gee, this fellow's super magic.
No, he's not either.
Any lame brain that acts like
I admit he's a little on the tardy side. But the understandable. Perfectly understandable. All his life, he's been babied and coddled. His mother and sister idolized him. Why, up until he was 20 years old, nobody had ever said a mean word to him. It was a shock to learn there was meanness in the world. That's why he cried. And another thing is, he's homesick. He just pines to be back in Pontiac. But his life is mine, huh? So, didn't you say he was an awful good boy?
Oh, and don't take blame.
That teacher him out in school, I know. Miss Harris was telling me he had all his report cards stuck in the mirror of his dresser. Wonderful marks. Arithmetic 100, geography 100, history 100, everything 100. So, she's not winning.
Yeah, but imagine a man, 43, crying like an infant because of a Texas store clerk wouldn't sell him licorice that extra penny.
I don't think it's our place to criticize. You can't help the way he's built. I'm sorry for him, and I'm glad to do all the favors I can. It's cruel to laugh at a poor fellow that's blue and miserable.
My friends over in Tavis Bacon Lottles still put a lot of faith in my promises after this.
Them friends over in Tavis Bacon Lottles probably survive you not being with them.
Hey, you can't be scared, Hawkins.
You'll come out when you do.
It's been a quarter of an hour.
I've heard of people talking long distance, quarter of an hour.
I got these invoices. I didn't come home to lie on the front porch and let the breeze blow down my collar. I come home to work.
Fred, your invoice is on the fifth here.
Oh,
I told Mrs. Judge you could have complete privacy, and I can't go back on. What's the matter? That's not comical, right? Not at all comical.
No, but I did.
Tell if those company hands us their bill, we'll send our undershirt to Detroit, Michigan parcel food.
She'll pay.
Yes, I hope so.
She'll pay.
I'd love to the window, girl, Warren.
No. Stay right where you are.
Well, sir, you probably stepped out of the bar to Port Ruth and did it. How do you know he's back? May have finished talking with his mother 10 minutes ago.
He'll open the door and let us know when he's through.
This is getting slightly ridiculous. I don't mind going along with halfway junk, but to a certain extent, when there comes a time when...
Huh?
Look, where? Oh,
not
through.
Did
I? Turn
it now. Yeah.
Might only come out.
Probably some
poison. Well, I hope the son of a gun...
I don't want any siblings or funny remarks this smart aleck class from you two. Be courteous, Mr. Sutton.
Halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Christopher's Vic and Fade until tomorrow.